Thank you. Thanks. I'm going to set my timer going for 20 minutes. And again, I want to thank you before I even start for this invitation to come here. I'm very honored, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be asked to go anywhere in Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is John. I'm a very grateful alcoholic, and because I am a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the grace of the power I found through the 12-step program out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since June 26th of 1984, and I'm very grateful. When I came to my first meeting back in 1984, I didn't say I was a grateful alcoholic. At that first meeting, I had very little to say when it came to my turn, but I did say when it came around to me. I said, I'm an alcoholic. And where those words came from were beyond me, where they came from. Because it took me a long time to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm not going to talk too much about my drinking. I have to tell you some stuff, because that's what I'm about to share is what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. And what I was like, alcohol was involved in it. But I'm overwhelmed with the number of you that are here, with day counts, and I'm so happy. I hope I can say something that you can relate to. I hope that you get a welcome, or you have gotten a welcome, like I got a welcome into the fellowship. And I hope that you will find what I found. And I'll tell you right off the bat. Everything I know about alcoholism, I learned out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I learned about recovery from the illness of alcoholism, I learned from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so grateful for the people that helped me. I was 12-step into Alcoholics Anonymous. And from that day, June 26, 1984, I have never gone back to drinking from the very first meeting I attended. And I'm not special. I certainly don't work the 12 steps any greater or harder than anybody else. I don't attend the fellowship any more than anybody else. It's just that I think one of the reasons that I can say that I haven't been, I haven't gone back is because I have a degree. I had a degree of willingness that I had never gotten in my 18, 19 years of drinking. I will tell you this, the first time I drank alcohol at the age of 14, 14 and a half, 15 in that age time, I could have died from alcohol the first time I drank. I drank too fast. I drank too much, and I suffered my first blackout, and then I was, as I said, I could have very easily died that very first time. I made it through that time with the thought, well, I was pretty lucky I didn't, and that's what my thought was. I was to go on, and I was to drink for another 18 years. I saw a brother of mine, an older brother, die from his alcoholism at the age of 40. I was about 25, 26 at the time when he died. He was older, and I saw him die on Skid Row, but I was different. That was my thought. I was different. And I was to go on for another 6, 7 years of drinking before I finally surrendered. And that's what it came down to. I had to surrender. I had to give up. And that, as I said, that degree of willingness, I had never had that in all my times of drinking. I had willingness at times, but not to the degree that I had it coming off my last drunk. I'm gonna read a couple of paragraphs out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, because this kind of sums up where I was on June 26, 1984. I'm gonna read a couple lines from the first page of A Vision for You. It says, "The old pleasures were gone; they were but memories. Never could I'm gonna personalize it. Never could I recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life, as I once did, and the heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable me to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. The less people tolerated me, the more I withdrew from society, from life itself. As I became a subject of King Alcohol, shivering denizen of his mad realm, the shivering vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened, ever becoming blacker. I sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, I did. Then would come come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen: terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. And it says, unhappy drinkers who read this will understand. And when I read those words the first time, and I read that last line, unhappy drinkers will understand, I understood. And I suppose it was because I was a unhappy drinker. And I'm going to just read one more thing here. And this is how our co-founder, Bill, this is how I believe he took the first step in his story. And I'm going to read two places here, just two short little things here. Bill says on page 6 of his story, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. And 2 pages over, he says, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. That's exactly how I was feeling that morning on June 26, 1984. The words described me exactly. And that's what happened, why I reached for the phone and I called our little office that we have in Winnipeg here, and I asked, and I said the words, I need help. And not too long after I made that call, a man came over by himself. He 12-stepped me. He was to take me to my first home group. And I started that very night on my journey to recovery. And I'll be forever grateful for that man who came by himself. And he spoke the language of the heart. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard that, but I heard it very clear that morning. This man, he stuttered. He had a speech impediment. And he came, he was going to come by with with somebody else. And I was to find out it was his sponsor that he was going to come with. But he couldn't get a hold of him. His sponsor, I guess, was working and he couldn't come. And this man, and he was an old man. I say that he was probably younger than I am today, but I looked at him. I was 32 years old, and he was an old man, he came by himself. And I'll tell you, I didn't hear one stutter coming out of his mouth that morning. He talked with me for about an hour, and he was to come back that night and take me to my first meeting. And I've never gone back drinking from that first meeting, as I said. And I came close. I'll tell you, I came close in my time of being sober. That obsession that I read there came several times, very, very strongly. I'll just tell you, in my sobriety, I've been divorced twice. I'm with my third wife, and a third time lucky. That's what they say, and I really believe I'm the luckiest man in the world, to have the wife I have today. But it was in during my second divorce, pending divorce. My first marriage, I was married to my first wife, who went through 8 years of my alcoholism, and I put her through hell. And then she went through about 8 or 9 years of my recovery. And I married my second wife. We have two children, me and my second wife, and we divorced. And our young children, were 4 and 7 years old when we divorced. And I'll tell you, that's when the obsession came the strongest. And I came very, very close to drinking at that time. But I didn't. I made it through that period with what I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I have is the fellowship. I have the program, the 12 steps. I had a good sponsor. I was sponsoring people, and I was being sponsored, and I had service going on at that time, and everything that Alcoholics Anonymous has to offer, I had it, and it got me through that period. And I'll tell you, and sometimes people don't understand, I was doing pretty good when I went into that period. I was sober about 18 years at that time. I was doing pretty darn good at that time, but I came out of it better than when I went into it. And the reason I did was because my relationship with a higher power got that much stronger when I started depending on that power. I know that recovery from alcoholism is more than just not drinking. That's a beginning that I needed. But recovery is what they talk about in the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I had to understand that, what it was, a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience. And I found out, as I said, I'd learned everything I needed to know in this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, because at the back of the book, it told me in the spiritual experience appendix that a spiritual awakening is nothing more than a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. And I had that. So I'm so very grateful for, that. And as I said, I needed to understand, first of all, what the problem was. And in the front of this big book, the doctor's opinion told me, and you read, I forget who read, We Agnostics. It gives me two questions on that page of what my problem is. And if I can answer yes to either one of them, it says I'm probably alcoholic. And I learned that. I learned that in the doctor's opinion, what my problem was. I learned about that allergy of the body. I learned about this phenomenon of craving that I have in my body once I put alcohol into it. I learned about that. I didn't know that for 18 years in my drinking. I had it at the very beginning of my drinking. I didn't know it. And then I learned that when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was shown to me in this big book. And also in the chapter more about alcoholism, I learned about that the most dangerous part of the illness is in that chapter. It talks about the obsession of the mind. And that kept me drinking for all those years. That obsession that told me, and that obsession was just a thought or idea that I had, and it went something like this. This time it's going to be different. This time you're not going to drink as much as you did last time. This time you're only going to have a couple. And I believe that lie. And as it says in the book, I followed that lie to the gates of insanity and death. I should have been dead many times in my drinking in one way or the other, but alcohol was involved every time I almost did. So I learned what the problem was. And then I learned what the solution is. The fellowship is so important. And I never take anything away from the fellowship, but I needed more than the fellowship, going to meetings. I needed more than that. And I was given that information about the 12 steps, the program. I'm not one that will ever say I came to the program, because I didn't. I know what the program is. It's the 12 steps. And I didn't come to do what the 12 steps told me to do. I came to do something about my drinking, and lo and behold, I found out those 12 steps are what I had to do about my drinking. But the fellowship was there to help me, to support me when I needed the support, to show me, to help me to believe that there is a power greater than myself. That's one of the functions of the fellowship, is to show people, and through our stories and through sponsorship, how to recover from alcoholism. And I got that. I got that from one of the greatest carriers of this message, the men who carried the message to me, and women. There were some great women that showed me. I mentioned a couple of them. There's four people that showed me how to work these steps. The first man was here in Winnipeg. His name was Austin. At the time in 1985, he was sober at that time about 20 years, almost 20 years he was sober. And he took me through the steps out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, with a few other people, about four or five other people. He took me and those other people through the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so grateful for him. But lo and behold, he was a link in a chain that would introduce me to other people. I mentioned a couple of men. Actually, there was three of them, JoJo and Charlie. Austin was to introduce me to these men a year later in my second year of sobriety, and I met Joe McSee and Joe McHugh and Charlie in April of 1986, and through a set of circumstances, I was to pick them up at the airport here in Winnipeg and drive them 3.5 hours to where they were doing a big book study, and they didn't change me, and what they did was they amplified what that man Austin had taught me a year before, and they gave me one of the greatest things they did for me that weekend, that first weekend that I spent with them. They gave me an idea that is in the front of this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And the idea, I grabbed onto it like a pit bull that weekend. Me and my sponsor, we went together and drove them, and both of us grabbed onto that idea like a pit bull, and we didn't let it go. And the idea that they passed along to us was precisely how to recover is the main purpose of this book, in the front of the book. And I'll tell you, I didn't know it at the time, but my life was to change by me doing precisely what the book Alcoholics Anonymous showed me what to do. And my life has been in a constant state of change from that day forward. And I hope I never ever get the idea that I'm finished growing, because if I do, a drink is probably around the corner from me. If I ever think I'm too smart for this stuff, I got to keep on learning. I got to keep on doing. This is a program of action, and there's so much to it. There sobriety. I don't take anything away from physical sobriety. But there's more to recovery than just not drinking, and I need to understand that. I got a couple of minutes here, and I got to make this fast. I don't know. I'm not going to ask a question. There's a lot of people that put up their hands for day counts. I'm not going to ask if you are coming back from a relapse. I'm not going to ask that. But I want to say one thing. I heard a quote not that long ago. And I heard it, and I had to write it down. And it wasn't in AA that I heard it. I don't know if I'll tell you where I heard it, but it's not in AA that I heard it. But anyway, the quote is, "Failure has never ruined anyone. Doubt and fear, though, will kill you." And I read that word failure. The only way failure can ruin me is if I stop trying. Then I can be ruined. But doubt and fear will honestly kill me, because doubt and fear will not have me try again. And I needed to, I was fortunate that I had that willingness. I was fortunate with the people I met in my early journey. And I know that some people aren't that fortunate, and sometimes, I just quit a job. I retired 12 years ago from a 37-year career, and I started at a treatment facility here, and I worked there for 12 years after my retirement. I didn't think I was going to be there for 12 years, but I seen a lot of people come in, and a lot of guys come in and out of that treatment center. And they didn't have the willingness, and it was a sad state of affairs when I seen a guy walk in the door again, and all he had to do was say a couple of words, and I hated it, but I knew he wasn't ready yet, But so there's more to this, I went through the service structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a three legacy believer, in our three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. And unity is through our 12 traditions. The service structure, I've gone through the service structure of our intergroup for a number of years. I got into general service. I went through 13 years in our service structure here in our area. And I ended up in that service structure as delegate to the General Service Conference in 2008, 2009. And I believe in the service, and I believe in all the. I'm just trying to turn off my alarm here, and I'm going to end off. I believe in those three legacies of recovery, unity, and service. So thank you for having me. And may I say, God bless each and every one of you, God as you understand them. Thank you.